You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
I'll tell you, when Pastor Oscar and I met, I knew that he would come here and be a part of a service of ours and begin this partnership. And so we're very, very excited to be able to do that. You know, we kick off our missions month. It's Go Global every Sunday of September. What we used to do when we took up an offering by plates, passing plates, we would take up two offerings. And you loved it. Every Sunday, we'd take up our regular offering for our just for our budget offering. And then at the end of every service in September, we'd take up a whole other offering that would go for missions, two missions. And so we've set a goal for $100,000. 50% of that that you give is going to go to international missions. 25% of that is going to go to North American missions and planting churches in North America. That's where this Puerto Rico partnership falls. It's in the North American Mission Board offering that you'll give. And then also we take up in that offering, we designate 10% of that to go to church plants in Louisiana. We have two church plants that we sponsor in Louisiana, one in New Orleans, one in Baton Rouge. And so 15% of what you give will go to what is called Baptist Global Response. That's disaster relief. We know a lot about that. I'm going to tell you more about that later. But it also goes to feeding hungry people and all of those things. And so when you give to our Go Global Missions offering, you can know that that money is going to the field. It's going to meet physical, spiritual, emotional needs around the globe, okay? And so you can give with confidence throughout this month as we focus our time on missions. All right, well, if you've got your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Don't look at the clock because I don't have a whole lot of time to tell you what I got to tell you. I kind of feel like that little boy who came to his pastor and said, "Preacher, can I kiss my girlfriend?" And he said, "Well, you don't talk to me about that. You need to talk to the Lord about it." So that next Sunday morning, he and his girlfriend went down to the little old church and they knelt underneath the oak tree and they decided, "Hey, listen, we're going to pray together and see if we can kiss." But what they didn't realize is earlier that morning, the little boy had climbed up to the top of that tree. And so that little boy held his little girlfriend's hand and said, "Lord, Lord, up above, can I kiss the one I love?" And a voice came down out of the top of that tree. Said, "Sinner, sinner, down below, pucker up and let her go." So I feel like I ain't got a whole lot of time. I just need to pucker up and let her go this morning, all right? So turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to, some of y'all have heard that 100 times already, but look, it just was fitting, all right? Look at verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, 22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren." I want you to circle that word sincere. That's a really powerful word. He says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth," that's the word of God, the truth of God, "through the Spirit of God, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." So he said, literally, our actions, our love, our the love that we have for the brethren, the people that we are surrounded by, it should be evidence of what the truth of God through the Spirit has done in us. Look at verse 23. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides and forever, lives and abides forever. Because," here's an Old Testament verse, "all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. And grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Now look here in verse 1 of chapter 2. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Look, I'm going to give you 2 points. I gave 9:33 points, but I ran out of time. So I'm going to give you 2 points this morning. And I just believe God's got a powerful word for us today. So remember the context. We've already gone through 2 sermons in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I've reminded you and I've showed you the context in which Peter is writing this short little letter and who he's writing it to. These are people, he calls them strangers in verse 1. Aliens, sojourners, folks who are living away from home, who have been pushed out of home because of what verse 6 says, that you have been grieved from various trials. Problem on top of problem. There was persecution that they were going through because the only reason they were persecuted is because of Jesus Christ. They had trusted Christ, and watch this, church, they were living differently in this world because of Christ, and that's why they were persecuted. And so Peter is writing to encourage them, but also to challenge them because you're different. You're to live differently. And church, that's the message for us today, that we're to live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. We're to be different. We're to react differently. We're to speak differently. We're to live differently. Our actions are to be different than the rest of this world. And so Peter, what he's doing in this, he is challenging them in the latter part of chapter 1. And literally, this is what I want to title this message. It's time. It's time. Time's up. It's time now for us to make a change. It's time now. We've gone through enough of living this mediocre, this life of Christ kind of being on the back burner of our life. We've lived long enough where Jesus is just a part of the pie of the time of our life. Now it's time. And the first thing Peter's going to say, it's time for us to grow up. I know that sounds kind of harsh. It's time for us to mature as believers. It's time for us to take a step and to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. Every one of us in this room, across this sanctuary, can say in our own life, it's time for me to make a change. It's time for me to take a step. It's time for me to grow up. It's time for me to mature as I walk with Christ. It may mean that I have to say no to something in my life. It may mean that I need to turn away from someone in my life that's hindering me, that's keeping me from following Christ completely. But Peter would remind those people, says, listen, you're under persecution. It's time. It's time for you to be mature. It's time for you to handle this grieving of various trials, these problems that you're dealing with. It's time for you to handle them as a mature Christian follower of Jesus Christ. And so watch what he's done. He's painted this picture of an infant. He talks about the sincere milk of the Word of God. He uses the phrase again, born again. He's showing the believers there that are dispersed because of persecution that they are still infants in their faith. Now, if you have never had a baby in your home, you may not be able to relate to some of us who are parents. But babies are the most selfish human beings on the planet. Now, they're cute, and they ooh and gaga and all of that stuff, and they'll make cute little faces, especially when they're passing gas or making a dirty diaper. You know, those are the cutest faces, but you know, babies really are nasty. You put food in, it comes out of every hole in their body, right? I mean, they're constantly a mess. They need cleaning up. They're selfish. They want what they want when they want it. It doesn't matter if you're asleep. It doesn't matter if it's 2 a.m. It doesn't really matter what you're doing, what your schedule is. They want what they want when they want it, and they don't care who it interferes for them to get it. Now, watch that. That, you know, we'll endure that for a time and for a season because we know all infants grow up. We realize that physically they grow up. Physically they begin to feed themselves. They begin to clean themselves. I don't know really when that happens, somewhere in their teenage years, that they begin to care for themselves. We know that when you have an infant, there's a hope that they're going to grow and be able to be self-sufficient one day in their life. Now watch this. If you look at that as the church, where an individual places faith in Jesus Christ and they become an infant, a babe in Christ. completely dependent upon someone or people to feed them, to encourage them, to nourish them in their new relationship with Christ. And now, it's cute. It's exciting. New birth is fun. When we see baptisms, when we see people trust faith in Jesus Christ, it is exciting when we see that. It takes a lot of work. Babies take a lot of work. And the sad thing is, could you imagine? Now, one of the neatest places in the hospital is the maternity ward. Now, could you imagine that if you went up to labor and delivery and you peered inside that glass window and you looked at all of the little babies and you saw their stats on the end of their card, right, or the end of their little crib, and someone would have a little wrapped up in a pink blanket, some in a blue blanket, and you see all the names there and you can see them. Some of them are screaming at the top of their lungs, but that glass, thank the Lord for that glass, you can't hear them. And they're going crazy in there. And could you imagine, you look at all of those little, there's the Jones baby, there's the little Smith baby. Oh, look, she's so beautiful. She looks like her mama. And then you just keep going all the way across. And then you see this lady rocking in a rocking chair, this full-grown hairy man. I mean, could you imagine, like, on a full-size Depends diaper, and he's got this huge bottle with a gallon of milk, and she's rocking him, and he's screaming. He's got a full beard. I mean, how disgusting is this? And she's trying to console him, and he's full grown, and she's holding them the best of him and the best that he can. And you think, man, how ridiculous would that be? But listen, I want you to know something. Peter's telling them, and I'm telling you, there's people that sit in this sanctuary. You have been a believer for decades, but you're still on the milk bottle. You're still an infant. It's still your way right away. It still matters what you want. You've become selfish, or you've continued to be selfish. And Peter's saying, hey, listen, guys, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's not about you. This world doesn't revolve around you. Jesus didn't save you so that you can have your way all the time, so that you can always sing the solo, so that you can always teach the class, so that you can always be in charge. It's not about you. And Peter's telling them that, listen, it's time to grow up. It's time to not be selfish. But you know what? Children, as they grow up, do you know what they become? They become possessive. This is mine. This is my toy. In fact, that possessiveness can sometimes become aggression, and they say, no, you can't have that. This is mine. You don't have to teach a baby to say no. They say, no, you can't have it. No, that's mine. And they'll have a pile of Legos, and their little brother or their little sister will have a Lego in their hand, and they want that Lego because it's their Lego. And you say, well, that's a little irritating when it comes to children, but guess what? It's even more so when it comes to the church. This is my room. This is my class. This is my group of people. Listen, Peter is telling the church that is dispersed, the strangers that are out there. He said, listen, that's how you were before you gave your life to Christ. It's time now to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to think of the body of Christ, the family of God, and love each other with sincere love of the brethren. He says, reminds us, children are selfish, they're emotional, they're insecure, they're possessive, they're sensitive about the silliest thing. Babies, as they grow, become young children, teenagers. Do you know what you know about teenagers? Teenagers, I'm telling you what, you don't have to know anything if you have a teenager. I've removed Google from my phone. I don't even have to ask Google anymore. I got a teenager, just ask them what it is. They know it all. You see, when we grow up in our faith, there's those stages that we go through. Do you know what? Children sometimes are gullible. Have you ever messed with a child when they haven't learned money yet? You know, they want coins. You give them coins. They think coins are really important. And then you say, they have a dollar bill or a $5 bill. And you say, I'll take that $5 bill and watch this. I'll give you six of these big silver coins for that one $5 bill. Six? You give me six of them? Six of them. And so he gets $1.25, and I've just made like $3.75 off this deal, right? Because kids are gullible. You know, just to prove this point, I had our media team paint the word gullible on the ceiling for you this morning. How many of y'all looked up there? Look at y'all. See, sometimes we as believers, we're gullible. We'll follow after the silliest things. The newest book that's written, the preacher that's the coolest one, who preaches the sermons that are emotional for us. And in fact, Paul reminded the believers in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, you follow after every wind of doctrine. You are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You and I are to be Our life is to be solid on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. So listen, Peter's telling them, grow up. How do we do that? How is it that you and I are to grow in our faith with Jesus Christ? You know, because we as the church, we come up with all kinds of programs. I mean, life group's really just a program. Old Sunday school, you get together in a small group of people, get around the Bible, have somebody teach. That's part of discipleship. That's to help you grow. But what do they get around? Do they get around breakfast? Is that what helps us grow? No, they get around the Word. It's the Word of God. And over, Peter is reminding them. He uses the word in verse 22, the truth. He goes on to say that the Word of the Lord endures forever. In verse 23, through the Word of God. You and I, in chapter 2, verse 2, the Word that you may grow thereby, the pure milk of the Word. So how are you and I supposed to grow in our relationship with Christ? We'll never grow. Listen to me, church. If you don't hear anything today, you and I are never going to grow apart from this word. That's a great place to say amen. You and I are never going to grow apart from the word of God. Now, what about this word? Why is this so true? Why is this the very thing that you and I need? Look what he just said. He quotes an Old Testament passage starting in verse 24. He says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. It falls off. It fades away. Aren't you glad that we're not going to have to mow much longer? How many of you guys enjoy mowing? Yeah, it's the ones who just get paid to do it probably, right? Listen, I would paint concrete green and make it my yard. I cannot stand mowing the grass. I am grateful that it's about to die, right? I love it. But that's life. That the life passes. The things of this life are temporary. Now, I want you to see this picture. I Googled, searched old family pictures, and I put in quotes, ugly, old, ugly family photos. Check this picture out. All right, there it is. This is the picture that came up. Look at them, some crazy looking people in that picture. Bless her heart. Look at that lady in the middle. She got crazy eyes, don't she? You see them old people sitting down, that man with the beard, he got more hair coming out of his ears than he does on his head. And then his wife beside him, she bald headed. You look across that picture, I'm going to tell you what's crazy about that picture. You type in old, ugly family photos, that picture's going to come up. It's from 1907. That's really not an old, ugly. That's my family. That's my mama's side of our family. That's some crazy picture. I'll tell you, there's nobody in that picture that's a preacher, but there are a lot of alcoholics in that picture. No preachers. That's in Tennessee, 1907. Show them the next picture. I want you to see this. The bottom right corner of the picture was a man with a little boy sitting in his lap. Now, that's really cool to me because that little boy sitting in his lap, that's my grandfather. Now, Warwick Christie was his name. Now, I don't remember a whole lot about my grandfather. I was 5 years old, 1980, when my grandfather died. The only memory I have of him is every time I saw him, deep in his pockets, he'd have a pocket full of these little Starlight Mints. Every time I see a Starlight Mint, I think about him. And that's his daddy holding him. But in 1980, my grandpa passed away when I was 5 years old. Now, do you want to know what's significant about that picture? Everybody in that picture is gone. Everybody in that picture lived their life. Every single person in that photo lived their days upon this earth. However many there were. I don't know the stories of everybody in that picture. So my grandfather died when he was 75. Some of them died when they were younger. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that God has ordained all of the days and he's written them in his book, all of our days before there was one of them. And every single person in that picture has already lived all their days. Isn't that amazing? Because every one of them, you would probably ask them in some season of their life, what are your dreams? And they would have dreams. They would say, well, I can't wait maybe to get a good job and to build a nice home and I start a family. I can't wait maybe to have children and to see them grow up and fall in love and get married and give me grandchildren. Everyone in that picture had dreams. Now watch this. Every one of them are gone. All the dreams are over. The life is over. Why? Because life is like grass. One day it's here, and the next day it's gone. Peter's reminding those people who were dispersed because of persecution. He said, hey, listen, the things in this life that we hold so dear, the things in this life that we hold onto so hard, one day they're here, and the next day they're gone. But you want to know what's still around? The Word of God. None of those in those pictures are still alive, but the Word of God endures forever. How are you and I going to grow up in our faith? The only way is that we get our nose in this book. The things of this life will not endure, but the Word of God endures forever. Watch this. The Word of God will fill us, and this world will do everything it can to empty us. So if you're a teenager, I can't even imagine growing up now and being a teenager, being bombarded at every angle. You know, when I was young, we didn't even have cell phones. I mean, I remember getting my first cell phone. I was in college. You didn't have a cell phone. We weren't strapped to a personal computer that we carried around in our pocket. I mean, some of y'all remember growing up. I mean, if you needed mama, you had to find a payphone. Some of y'all don't even know what a payphone is. That's where you take those coins that you bought from your uncle, $5 for $5, and you'd put them in a payphone to call home. You would have to get a ride to a payphone. Now, these things, every one of us have them. Some of them in your pocket. Some of you have been looking at it since I've been preaching. Do you know what happens to my phone every Sunday morning? It sends me a report of the usage, my phone usage, every Sunday morning. Does anybody else do that? Every Sunday morning. I don't know why it hits that. I think the Holy Spirit sends it every Sunday morning to remind me how much I was on this thing the last 7 days of my life. And I found out this morning from my report that my phone usage was down 8% last week. Praise God. But I was on this phone for 5 hours and 25 minutes the last 7 days. Some of y'all looking at y'all were on the phone for over a day. Now watch this. The Word of God does everything. God's Word is that fills us, and then the world comes along and empties us. And one way the world empties us is this little thing we carry in our pocket. How are you and I going to grow? Grow in our relationship with God when all we do is look on our phone. You say, well, preacher, I'm on my phone and I'm looking at the Bible all of the time on my phone. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. If you've got a smartphone, I want to show you how you can check to see how much you're on your Bible. You're going to be convicted, I promise you. There is a settings button on your cell phone. You can go down all the way to the battery. It's a little green button on an iPhone. You push the battery, and it tells you what percent you used every app and how your battery, how much of your battery you used on every app. 24% of my battery was used with Facebook. That's convicting. Because when I scroll all the way down, my Bible is 1%. Now, I'm glad I don't always use this Bible to read. I use this Bible to read. But church, how can we allow God to grow us up with the enduring Word of God and ask God to fill us with His Word when the world is constantly filling us with what's on our phone? It's really amazing. Some of y'all are looking at your battery, aren't you? How much you played games? How much you looked at social media? How much time you spent in mind-numbing mess that didn't help you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Peter's telling them, he said, hey, listen, guys, you're surrounded by all of this. You grow up. It's time for you to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see, and I don't have time. I've got like 3 minutes, so listen quick. It's time to grow up, and then Peter says it's time to give up. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, therefore always points us back to what he's just said. Because we're growing up, you and I have to give up some things. Look what it says in verse 1. Therefore, laying aside. That's setting it down. That's stop doing this. It is giving these things up. Lay aside all malice. Now, you can imagine as Peter's preaching this to individuals or writing this to individuals who have watched Nero and his henchmen kill their family members and their loved ones, and Peter says, hey, listen, lay aside malice. You know what malice is? That's ill intent. That's desiring ill for somebody. That's conjuring up in your mind an evil plan for someone who's hurt you, for them to hurt. That is powerful when you think about the people he's writing this to. Hey, guys, listen, you need to lay aside the malice. Vengeance is the Lord. You don't worry about what those people have hurt you. Now, listen, church, you and I need to lay aside malice. Malicious intent. Those evil plans, those evil thoughts, those wicked thoughts that we have of people who have stabbed us in the back, who've said something ugly about us, who have hurt us growing up, maybe even abused you, and you can't get those things out of your mind. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Listen, if you're going to grow up, you're going to have to give up and lay aside malice. That's good, Brother Gavin. Just keep preaching, all right? I'll do it. Watch this. All deceit. All deceit is when we lie, when we live a lie, when we portray to other people that's not really true. Maybe we want to convince somebody that we're better than we really are, or that we're somebody. Our ego, a lot of times, is involved in this. Or hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a powerful word. Hypocrisy is a theatrical term. The word hypocrisy, if you were an actor that was a hypocrite actor, it meant that you would be involved in two different acts of a play, playing two different parts. And so once you would finish the first act, you would go backstage and you would change your costume, maybe even put a mask on so that the audience didn't recognize you, and you would come out in act two as a whole different character. And so listen to what Peter just said. He said, church, you and I need to lay aside our hypocrisy. We have to stop playing two different people in our life. We have to stop acting one way when we're here at gathering together as the church and acting a totally different way when we're at school or when we're at work or when we're in the community. If you and I are going to grow up, we're going to have to give up some things. And one of those things that we're going to have to give up is we're going to have to live for Christ regardless of where we are. Lay aside hypocrisy. Envy. Envy. Envy is when you see what somebody else has and you want to have that, or you desire to have what they have. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a family. Maybe it's a job, a profession. Maybe it's where they live or how they live. Maybe it's the amount in their bank account. Maybe it's the security that they have in their life. Maybe whatever it is, you see what they have and you desire to have that. You're not content. Peter says, if you and I are going to grow up in our relationship with Christ, we're going to have to give up envy. Stop looking to what other people have and coveting that and becoming envious of them. Evil speaking. Can I tell you something? Some of the meanest people I ever met are in church. I mean, some of the people I'm talking about, they'll talk ugly about each other. Speak evil about people. How can that be? It's because we have people who are coming as being a part of the church. I'm not just talking about First Baptist Halton. I'm talking about every church. There are people in the church, and you can't get them to say nice things about people. Are you negative? If you and I are going to grow up in our relationship with Christ, we've got to give up evil speaking. It's time. It's time for you and I to live differently. That's what Peter's encouraging them. Faced with trouble and problem on top of problem, you and I are called to live differently. What's it going to mean? How are you and I going to live differently? You and I got to get in this book, and we got to allow this book to change our life. This isn't a book that was written 2,000 years ago that has no significance to you. This is God's love letter to you and I, and He has written this so that your life and that my life can be greater on this earth. Do you know what the least read book in the world is? Anybody? It's not the Bible. It's the car owner's manual. What's crazy is the manufacturer of those cars painstakingly have written down everything you as a car owner need to know about that car, the ins and outs of that car, how to operate that car to maximum performance, how to maintenance that car so that you can avoid major breakdowns. Do you know what the second least read book in the world is? It's the Bible. And you know what the manufacturer of your life has painstakingly written down everything that you need to know about your life? He has given you steps to go through. He has given you maintenance to do in your life. He has written this manual so that you can operate your life at the highest performance and avoid major breakdowns. You see, the author of our life, the creator of our life, has given us the instructions of our life, and you and I will never grow to be the person, the man, the lady God wants you to be for God's glory apart from this book. Church, listen to me. I love you. It's time to grow up. It's time for you and I to give up the things that are keeping us from living for Christ in this world. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God, you're good. Thank you. God, thank you for all that you provide us. Thank you, Father, for the word that you've given us. God, I pray, Lord, that we would live our lives by this book. And God, I pray for those who are in this room who've never trusted you as Savior. God, I pray today, Father, that they would place faith in you. They would trust in the sacrifice that you have offered for them and the empty grave that you have provided. And God, I pray, Lord, today that you would move in a powerful way. God, thank you for Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.